So, how's your antenna working? We'll help you analyze that in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report that just might warrant further analysis. So what's the first thing you do after constructing or erecting an antenna? Check its match, or SWR, standing wave ratio? A ham who wrote Understanding Your Antenna Analyzers is QST contributing editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR. Joel spoke about antenna analyzers in a 2015 Dayton Hamvention forum. Be advised, there's a bit of useful info coming up, so put down your cell phone and get ready to absorb some data about the modern antenna analyzer and how different it is from the analog SWR bridges so many of us used back in the 1960s.
What is an antenna analyzer? Well, the first thing to say is it doesn't really analyze antennas, so that's the first thing you have to get past, is it doesn't do that. But what it does do, it measures the impedance characteristics of antennas or antenna systems. While it can't tell what the antenna is going to do when the signal gets to them, it can tell how the signal will interact with the equipment that's driving the antenna, which is oftentimes what we're most interested in. There are a number of different kinds of equipment that fall under the category of antenna analyzers. It's important to understand what some of the differences are. In the old days, which I almost go back to, before there were coax cables, nobody had antenna analyzers of the type we have today. What they did was they put RF ammeters in the open wire feeders or in the single line feed to an antenna or that was an antenna. And basically, all you did was you tuned for max. If you're putting RF current into the antenna system, you thought it was going someplace. And that was not a bad thing to do because that's basically all you could do. Whatever you had up there, the more power you put into it, the better it worked. When we came into using coax cables, which was largely for hams after World War II, we then had a whole number of new sets of issues to deal with. We had to match the impedances everywhere. Otherwise, the coax cable would have excessive loss, and we'd heat up the coax cables. And while that can be entertaining in its own way, it really didn't get us the kind of communications that we might hope for. So instead of worrying about RF current going up towards the antenna, we started worrying about power that was going towards the antenna and power that was being reflected back due to mismatches in the system in various places. For many, many years, I started using the Bird Model 43 forward reflected power meter in 1960-something, I think, in the two-way radio business. And you'd put the transmission cable from the transmitter in one end, put the cable going to the antenna in the other, and by turning the little slug in the middle, you could either read the power going towards the antenna or coming back from the antenna. And that worked very well, except nowadays, each one of those slugs for each frequency range and for each power range goes for, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks. So people started doing other things. Heathkit, of course, was quick to jump in at the time and provide a meter that did most of that for a lot less money, and also measured SWR. The power meter itself does not actually directly measure standing wave ratio. It measures forward and reflected power, as we'll discuss in a moment. If we have the forward and reflected power, we can determine the standing wave ratio. Many watt meters came with little charts, so you just find the ratio of the powers and it would tell you what the standing wave ratio was. A nice thing about forward and reflected power meters is they not only tell us something about the antenna system, they tell us something about the radio, or they tell us the radio is putting out power. That's always a nice thing to know because it doesn't always happen, as you all know. Some of them offer direct standing wave ratio measurement as well as forward and reflected power readings. Now, there's some downsides to the forward and reflected power meter arrangement. First is, it doesn't really tell you what's happening. It tells you how well it's happening, how much reflected power there is, and in most systems you want to have minimal reflected power and at the same time you have maximum forward power. And that's a good thing to be able to do, but it doesn't really tell you what's causing the reflection. So you have to trial and error it. The other thing is, in order to get any data on this system, you've got to put out a fairly substantial amount of forward power. Now this means a couple things. You only can do it on the frequencies you're allowed to transmit on. Now, in many cases, I don't know about you, the first time you put up an antenna, it doesn't look like it wants to talk to the radio at all on any ham band. So you've got to say, well, do I want to make it longer or shorter to get into where I can actually start making some reasonable readings? It doesn't really give you that kind of information. The other thing is, while you're adjusting your antenna, you're also interfering with anybody else that might happen to be using that frequency. Sometimes people are kind enough to listen first before they do this, but I have a sense that they don't always do that. Another thing, a little subtle point here, reflected power emphasizes high standing wave ratios when you're trying to take data. What you're usually interested in is much lower SWRs. So what that means is that the range of standing wave ratio you're interested in, 3 to 1, 2 to 1, 1.5 to 1, is compressed at the bottom edge of the scale. So it can be very hard. It looks like you're getting rid of the reflected power, but until you can focus in on the very low edge of the meter scale, you can't really tell very well how well you're doing once you get close. So for example, in an SWR meter, the typical SWR meter that uses voltage readings, a 3 to 1 measurement is in the middle of the scale. Now you've got something you can much more easy to work with once you get down into that range. What's in a traditional power meter? Well, we have an indicator that measures forward and reflected power, and we have some kind of a display. In the simple ones that we used to have, the display is a meter, and we just have a coupled transmission line arrangement that separates forward and reflected power, and you can look at either one. It's fine, it works very well, but that's what it is. Now, what makes it an antenna analyzer in today's terms? The first thing is we add a frequency generator, a generator of RF signals. That takes the place of the radio transmitter that we normally use. But the interesting thing is that transmitter is putting out a 10 dBm signal or something, a very weak signal that can be transmitted via Part 15 rules and so forth on any frequency that you want, as long as you're not interfering too much with somebody else. So now we can actually measure the way our antennas work on all frequencies that the antenna analyzer covers. And that's a real powerful improvement in what we can do compared to the power meters. And let's face it, if you have an antenna that is giving you a low SWR on the band that you're working on, you don't really care too much anymore about what else is going on. You know, you don't need an antenna analyzer. It's people who are building antennas or want to take detailed data about antennas or want to design an antenna tuner to match an antenna that can use an antenna analyzer. It's like most test equipment. If everything is working great, you don't need one. But if you put up an antenna and you don't know what it's going to do, this can tell you fairly quickly what's happening without you having to climb up and down and add and subtract wire. As you know, subtracting wire is much easier to do than adding wire.
You're listening to the skinny behind the modern antenna analyzer from prolific writer and QST contributing editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR. We'll conclude our excerpt from his 2015 Dayton Hamvention presentation in a moment. This is The Rain Report, accessible as a download or stream from therainreport.com, as a download on Twitter, hashtag TheRainReport, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
The very basic antenna analyzers have an old type VFO like you'd have on a 1940s receiver, and you can read the frequency to half a megahertz, and as you go higher in frequency, the readout gets less and less and so forth. Those are usable, but you really need to be able to tell what the frequency is to know what the antenna is doing. So if you want to use one of those, you almost have to have a receiver next to it or a frequency counter that allows you to determine what the frequency is. Then you can tell the frequency. But some of them have either a frequency counter built in, which is very handy, so you don't need another piece of equipment, or the frequency generator itself is a DDS, direct digital synthesizer, that generates an accurate frequency. So you can say down to the hertz or the kilohertz or whatever, depending on the model, I know exactly what frequency my data is being taken at. So that's very important. The other thing about that is some analyzers allow you to use the frequency counter as a separate standalone frequency counter. Now, whether you bought an antenna analyzer, you also get a frequency counter. It may not have the resolution or the accuracy of a $12,000 HP counter, but it has a lot more accuracy than no counter. And so a lot of people find that very useful. Many antenna analyzers have a computer interface. We'll show some of the displays that you can get, and that can be very useful both to define the tests, to sequence the tests, depending on the particular analyzer, or to collect data. Instead of scribbling things on the side of a pad and trying to figure out what they meant the next day, nothing better than having an actual screenshot that says, this is what my antenna measured, before the snowstorm, and this is what it measures now, and now I can see what the changes are. Makes it a very useful kind of thing. Another thing that's very handy is some antenna analyzers have built-in power supplies or rechargeable batteries, that kind of thing. What an antenna analyzer has that separates it from other kinds of power meters is built-in low-level signal source that you can use on any frequency, an indication not only of forward and reflected power or standing wave ratio, but actual system impedance of whatever you're connecting to the analyzer. Some just indicate the magnitude of impedance, and frankly, I've never quite figured out what to do with that. But most give you also the resistive and reactive part of the impedance. And some of them give you the sign of the reactance, which is particularly handy. By the way, if you don't have the sign of the reactive part, so you can't tell if it's inductive or capacitance, if you move this frequency slightly upward and the reactance increases, it's inductive. If you move it slightly upward and the reactance decreases, it's capacitive. There's a caveat there. You have to be very careful it doesn't dip down through zero in between. But as long as you move very slowly, because then you're on the other side of it. But so you can tell that yourself if you're very careful and if you have a very slow tuning rate on your antenna analyzer. One of these with a dial-type tuning, forget about it, I think, in most cases. Some of them provide swept frequency analysis, so you can not only see a particular frequency, but you can see a range of frequencies all in one shot. We talked about the frequency counter and the use of computer memory and display. So those are all the kinds of things that you can get. What else can you do with an antenna analyzer? An antenna analyzer might be the most useful single piece of test equipment. Maybe you need a VOM first in your shack. But all of these things, it acts as a signal generator. It doesn't have an attenuator. It doesn't have a calibrated level. But with a addition of an attenuator, you can get that. It can work as an impedance bridge. Some of them can work as mostly the MFJ ones in the mid to upper price range. Also can serve as a frequency counter. You can make it act like a grid dip oscillator or gate dip oscillator, depending on when you grew up. You can measure the electrical length of transmission lines, and you can actually determine the loss of a transmission line, whether it's open or shorted. Some of the Rig Expert ones actually have a time domain reflectometer, so if you have a shortened line someplace, you can actually see where it is. That's very handy. The antenna analyzer can't tell whether what you're measuring is an antenna or a couple of components, a resistor and a capacitor. It can't tell the difference. It looks the same. Now, that may be good news, because if what you really want to do is not measure an antenna, but measure a capacitor, you can measure it with this, and it's a great handy tool to measure components. You got a box full of components, you don't know what they are. It's got this little capacitor with strange colors on it and two leads. You clip it on your antenna analyzer and get a frequency where it looks reasonable, and you'll measure the capacitance. And if you measure the resistance, that can tell you the Q of the capacitor at that frequency. So a very handy kind of thing to have, and it basically replaces laboratory impedance analyzer for a lot less money. Another kind of multiple frequency data here, you could actually, instead of getting the SWR, you can get the real and imaginary parts of the impedance plotted over the frequency range. And then a really slick thing of the Rig Expert one that I have, it gave you the SWR of five frequencies simultaneously. Why would you want that? If you ever had a multiband antenna with interactive tuning, you get it just right on one band and the other band is fouled up. You go back and you adjust that one and the first band is fouled up. This shows you up to five frequency ranges at the same time. Very slick idea. I guess what I'm trying to summarize here is the kind of information that you can get from an antenna analyzer. And again, each different model has different features and different details of what they give you, and it's important to look and see what they have and what you're interested in. It's important not to just take measurements and run around with wire cutters. It's important to understand what you expect, understand what should be there and what you want to get from it, and then make the appropriate translation. There's a lot you could say about antenna analyzers. I could write a book about it. In fact, I have. And called Understanding Your Antenna Analyzer. If you think of questions, by all means, send an email to W1ZR or doctor@arl.org, and I'll be happy to answer your questions about this or any other technical subject.
And that concludes our look at antenna analyzers with Joel Hallis, W1ZR, excerpted from his 2015 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. Joel is a contributing editor and a prolific writer for the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. His book, Understanding Your Antenna Analyzer, is readily available on the Internet. Next week, we'll bring you some thoughts about the late Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, the man behind Newsline. Sadly now, a silent key. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain's producer since Rain's beginning 25 years ago. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes.